As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard, loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I really want to have it's been a long time since we talked politics, and you have to know that it took everything I could to stay away from it as long as I have, because there's so much to discuss. And I have to tell you, maybe you all have not been around me long enough to know this about me, but I like to believe that I'm an intelligent person. You know, there's a difference between being smart and being intelligent. There's some people who are just born with smart. And I'm not necessarily going to say that I'm a smart person, but I'm an intelligent person. And I think that intelligent people use wisdom and common sense to be able to think things through. And I'm asking all of those in my audience and those of you who call in that we need to be prepared and ready to think things through, to use our wisdom and our abilities to visualize what people are trying to sell us and make a determination of whether or not they're selling us a bill of goods. You know, Bernie Sanders did something that was very important to our society. Even though a vast majority of people did not see the things the way he did, he had a movement that went on that was very substantial, and there were a lot of things that he said that we need to take into consideration. We've lived in a society or environment where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and that's exactly what is happening to us today. And the sad thing is there's too many poor people or people who believe they're in the middle class that are going along with being shanghaied by the Republican Party. And until those people recognize and understand that Republicans are focused on one thing and one thing only, to keep things as a status quo, they want to keep the money of the rich in the rich man's pocket. They want to keep him investing in America and keeping that money rolling in to the rich people and the cronies that are aligned with them, and keeping the middle class struggling and dying pretty much because they're refusing to do what it needs to be done to reduce health care to the point where everyone can have it. There are two things in the society that I think are paramount that every American should have, whether he's rich or poor. Every American should count on the opportunity to have and get a good education. And every American should have and be able to see a doctor of their choice. But it is clear to me that the Republican Party refuses to see or understand the need for people to have access to health care. And I don't care what you say, President Obama and the Democratic Party did everything they could to give us decent health care. And Obamacare needed some tweaking, but what it did do was give millions and millions of people an option that they did not have and never had under the Republican Party. And I just need you all to use your wisdom and recognize what it is that the Republican Party is doing. At the same time, they're trying to push through and destroy Obamacare. They are giving the rich a tax break that's bigger than it has ever been before. And if you don't recognize that they're doing the same thing they've always done, taking us back in the same direction they've always taken us, and not caring or respecting or appreciating those people who are struggling every day. Bernie Sanders brought light to what is called the working poor, the person that is working 40 hours a week, who's barely making it, cannot afford health care, and who's dying on the job. But yet we still allow the GOP to wave their flag about how great they are and when they only cater to themselves. At what point do we wake up and see exactly what is being done to us? I marvel all the time at how the Republican Party will try to flip the script and say that they're the party of the poor and go all the way back to Lincoln when it comes to freeing the slaves. But right now, they're the party that look to enslave us economically, slave us to the insurance companies, enslave us to high prices, and give money to the rich, despite them being the ones that have had economic success throughout these last 8 years. It is a shame and a disgrace that they look us in our face and try to tell us how much they care about us and their commitment to the middle class when they do everything they can to make life better for those who are making $250,000 a year or more. At what point do those of us who are under six figures recognize that we're being hoodwinked by the GOP? I'm disheartened. I can't imagine how anyone who is earning under six figures can see the GOP as their saviors. And a lot of time it is white America who is supporting this foolishness, because somehow or another they want to believe that any time that the GOP is making life harder for people of color, that is making life better for them. And that is so far from the truth. So I am encouraging all of you who are out there to recognize and understand that we, as it comes up towards the midterm elections, that we have to get together and make sure that the Republican Party is not in power in terms of the Senate and the House. We have to take a stance for that which is important to us. Now, during this prosperity that the rich have had for the last 10 to plus years, how could we think or believe that it's in our country's best interest to give them a tax break by taking insurance away from the poor? I need you to explain that to me, because I don't see it at all. It is a craziness for us to be going in this direction. Tyrone, what are your thoughts in regard to how the GOP is trying to sell this crock of goods to the American people?
Well, first of all, thank you for calling on me, allowing me to speak. First of all, I have not tuned into the television today, so I don't really know what's going on. I saw something where I think was John McCain made a crucial vote and went with the Republican Party. You know, it's all about money, man. It's you know, people, they just don't care. And you know, with all the problems that our president is having, how would you, I mean, what would make you want to align with a rapist, you know, with a liar, with I mean, just about any negative name you can name? How could you align with somebody like that? Also, you know, if you're talking about affecting 20, 30 million people who are going to die. And, I mean, these people are just not sensitive at all. They just don't care. And I don't know if that's going to ever change. And so it's really, it's a shame. It's pitiful. It's downright degrading. And, you know, a lot of this is about trying to destroy Mr. Obama's legacy. I mean, these people have been talking about repealing the Obamacare for how long? For the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years or longer? So it's really, really, it's really unfortunate. I think the Obama plans have probably been around maybe about 3 or 4 years, but even before that happened, they've been talking about repealing it. And so, you know, what is the saying that you cut off your nose to spite your face? That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. That's where they get their satisfaction. And we better come together. You know, we better come together and put some pressure on the Democrats and all and also on our people. It's time for us to stand up, because it won't be no standing up after a while. These people, they're taking everything they possibly can. And, you know, it's a sin. It's a sin to affect the poor the way they're doing. I mean, the poor will always be among us. And it says in the Bible that we're supposed to help the poor. We're supposed to take care of the poor. When you take care of the poor, you're serving God. And so it's a shame. It's a sham. It's really pitiful. I don't know what could be done, but we as a people, and I'm talking about black people, white people, whatever kind of colors or nationalities, races, we got to come together and stop this. And you know, it's really serious. So I'm going to shut up and maybe listen to somebody else.
Tom, let me just say this and make this crystal clear to everybody out there. There is nothing more real than you when people bring things to your front door. When I retired 2 years ago, I retired knowing that if I wanted to keep my insurance that the school provided, I would have to pay over $800 a month. The state only gives me $150 a month going toward my insurance. So my insurance was going to be the highest bill next to my mortgage. When I looked into Obamacare, it dropped my insurance all the way down to $350.
That's amazing.
Since that time that it's been $350, it has gone up to $445. Still a sizable amount lower than the $850 I was going to have to pay out of pocket each month. So, see, it is real to me. And I have no idea what is going to happen when they get rid of Obamacare, and I'm forced to go into a system I'm at the mercy of the insurance company. And when you put people at the mercy of the insurance company, they have to make difficult choices.
Yes.
They have to say, well, I'm feeling good right now, so do I need to spend this $1,000 to the insurance company when I can use it to fix my car? Should I pay my electric bill with this money instead of paying the insurance company with money that I may or may not need?
Yes.
These are the kinds of questions that millions and millions of retired people and people who are working and who don't have insurance are going to have to make. And you
absolutely
can't see that the Republican Party is saying, hey, I don't care if you die in the street. Donald Trump said there will be no more people dying in the street. He was going to have insurance for everybody.
And the premium is going to be lower.
He is constantly telling lies.
Yes.
And it is obvious that they don't want him to the forefront based on those things. Joyce, what are your thoughts today, Joyce, as we deal with the fact that the GOP seems to be determined to put an end to Obamacare when they don't have anything to put on the table?
Well, that was the case since day one. That's the case where when he said, let's drain the swamps, that's when people came out of the woodwork. All your rednecks, all your
yes.
people who are racist, they came in full force, and they voted. And that's the reason why, because they want to strike and strengthen anything that a black man put forth. They got the most unclassy, low-down, ignorant person to represent their country. They don't care, because this is what they want to do. And he keeps saying it. Trump, he wanted to get rid of Obamacare. I'm so sick of him talking about Obama and Hillary Clinton. Move on. You want it? Move on. Let's do something different. But what they don't realize, and I'm going to tell you the real deal here, they don't realize that, are you looking at all these people who this Obamacare is helping? Look at them.
Like
I don't see nobody black on TV. With major, major illnesses. They light bulb haven't woke up yet. When that light bulb come on, they're going to realize that Obama has never been happened, really, really happened all the blacks. No. He's helped all the whites, all the Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and anybody else. But what have he really, really done for a lot of blacks? I can't name nothing. And when you look at all these people who are marching, who are in wheelchairs at the Capitol land on the street, they all white folks. So when they light bulb come on, this is what Obama did for you, sweet pea. But what they thought was is that they want the Affordable Care Act. Let's get rid of Obamacare. Well, hello, both of them are the same thing. Obamacare is something that Trump put on the health care to get rid of it. The reason why he named it Obamacare, because he knew that the white folks, the old rednecks, the people that he got, and a lot of majority of the people who went behind, who you think that was, they love Obama, they went right behind and voted for Trump. This is what we got. They got a tiger now that they can't even tame. And the sad thing about all the senators, and I just hate McCain did that, here you are. Walking, you in critical condition, and it's time for you. You should have been standing up, being decent. The way that he low-rated you, demeaned you, stating that you were no honorable person for a hero because you got caught, you're too easy to forget. It's ridiculous. It's just no respect, but they'll do anything to depress blacks. And that's what this all about is depressing blacks. Not so much of your Mexican or anyone else. It's for blacks that they're trying to depress. But we have always been survivors. We always overcome. And it is what it is. Now, here in Arizona, we have all the insurance companies has every year they don't want to participate in Obamacare. So that's why you got this state is so eager. But it's, on the flip side of that, we have a lot of seniors who's going to hurt. And they're going to have
yeah.
to choose whether or not they eat or whether or not they have to do get their medicine and the whole bit. And McCain should have known better. But I'm just really, really disappointed in him because I've told everyone and I encourage everyone, call your senators, call your representatives and tell them, I want the same insurance you got. I want to be able to get the same health care. And when I get sick, I want to be able to go to the Mayo Clinic, Senator McCain. I got a bill from the Mayo Clinic that I'm paying, but I got to pay it on a monthly basis because it is ferocious. But when I got hurt on the job that my employee didn't even pay, and I'm still paying. But it's sad. This is where we are in society, and this is what we're dealing with. Unjust is all over the place. We're not going to get it. So we got to do a lot of praying, and like you said, we got to start speaking up. And don't just say something and just say, you know, it doesn't apply to me. It applies to you whether you know it or not. Down the pipe, it's going to apply. All you need to go do is go out there and slip on the cement. You will be in a hellified situation. But see, all the people that are thinking and thinking that the health care, they thinking they helping everyone, but they don't know that your health, your life can change in a split second. Believe me. And this is what you confront with. So we need to start calling these guys up, leaving messages, and overflowing their voice messages in the Senate. And I mean it. You have those numbers. I keep giving them to you. You need to flood them. I call them all day long, leaving a message. They probably think I'm slowly insane, but it is what it is.
It is incredible to me that people who are seeing this in real time refuse to recognize the amount of damage that it's going to do to people across the country. Those people who have health issues already are going to lose their insurance. And they're going to be literally dying across the country because of these people. Ms. Hooks, what are your thoughts in relating to health care and the fact that the Republican Party seems to be bent on taking health insurance from the poor and giving the tax break to the rich?
Just like everyone mentioned, this is going to affect everybody. It's affecting us closely right now that we can see it. It will affect us at some point because just like the young lady just said, you know, our lives can change in an instant. And, you know, that we don't understand is that we have to come out in massive in voting. We don't. You know, they did. And in every state, and I can't understand, we want change, but we're not showing up in the numbers at the voting polls. So, you know, we are in the mess that we are in right now. And I mean, we got to start doing something, you know, about it because I don't know how we're going to really fight against this, but I do know that a lot of it has to do with when we don't come out and we don't vote. Now, with the Republicans, I mean, that is their agenda to destroy the poor and to get the middle class to be poor. And is it fair? No, it's not fair. And it's infuriating those of us who do get out and who do vote and who do try to do something where others are not, or we not all coming together. And we got to understand that we have to come together because this has been going on too long, meaning that we are steady suffering. So we have to work twice as hard, even sometimes more, to be able to accomplish just a few things. And I mean, this healthcare thing is serious. It's serious because, you know, if you ever realize when you go to the doctor that when your insurance is not covering something, you out of there. I don't care what condition you are in. And if you can't afford the insurance, then you can't, I mean, they're going to only do so much and that's it. And then until it starts happening to you, meaning us, whichever individual, it's like, when are we going to wake up? But it's affecting everybody, and everybody needs to come together and do something about it. It all starts with teaching and helping everybody to understand that we got to get out and we have to vote. I mean, our election showed, you know, just how we got out and voted, and we didn't. We didn't do it in the mass amount that we needed to. And we got a chance to find out what people were really thinking. I have some people that I'm acquainted with, and I never even thought some of the things that came out of their mouth. But it's like they are in the closet with a lot of things, but they came out and they showed up in numbers, and we're not doing it. We got to do it.
Dee, what are your thoughts related to the fact that These are families. These are just not individuals. These are whole families who are going to be without health care, who children who are going through adolescence and may have any number of different diseases that might impact their lives. And the Republican Party is showing you just how much they care about the poor when they are ready to give tax breaks to the rich and take away insurance from people who desperately need it.
Well, thank you for the show, James, and thank you for the topic. I think I want to start where you opened up at and speaking about where the senator, I forgot his name just that quick, James, the senator that ran the independent ticket. What's his name again?
Bernie Sanders.
Thank you, sir. No. You know, he ran on the assumption that the system is broken, and the system is broken because when we're talking about our people, that people need to get out and vote, Hillary actually won the popular vote by 3 million votes. It was the electoral that put Donald Trump in office. In that, the system is broken because the format that the Republicans use and the Conservative Party use is all about money. They put their money where their mouth is. They put their billions of dollars to make sure that the system does what they want it to do. When George W. Bush got elected, you know, there was a lot of talk about how the voting terminals was fixed. There was issues with the swinging Chad, whereas if the Chad then wasn't punched all the way through, they couldn't count that ballot. So they put their money where their mouth is. Now, how they persuaded the poor white Americans to vote for Donald Trump is, again, they bring in these statisticians and these experts of marketing on how to play on people's emotions. So they played on the white emotion. And then they're just as poor as anybody else where they would have benefited from Obamacare, but they played on their emotions. In that emotion is what got Donald Trump in the White House. As you all have already said, it hadn't settled in yet, but they're going to be the ones that are going to suffer the most. So now we all know that the Democrats rolled out their new plan, supposedly, but they still don't have a person or a face to put with that plan. They got to start doing things a lot better. And listening to Ms. Joyce, it sounds like Senator McCain, and I apologize, I wasn't up on the news because I'm in a juicy red state, and the news that I get here is totally one-sided. It sounds like Senator McCain signed in favor of the Republican proposal. And if he did so, that's very unfortunate. He probably did so on his dying bed, if you will, to side with his party. And so if that's what he did, then that's what it is. But, again, yeah, we have a lot of work to do and a lot of figuring out on how to deal with this thing. Thank you.
The sad thing, again, is that these people would profess that they have a love for the poor and the middle class. And they, every day, they are doing things that suggest otherwise. You know, and you have to be able to clearly look at it and see and recognize how detrimental the actions that they take impact the majority of Americans. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back to continue our conversation.
Should've held on tight, I never should've let you go. I didn't imagine. no fathom that would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never felt the feeling that I'm feeling now that I don't hear your voice. Or have your attention, kiss your lips, cause I don't have a choice. Or what I wanna get to have you lying by my side. Right here, cause baby, when you left, I lost a part of me. It's still so hard to believe. Come back, baby, please.
Cause we will only get better.
Who else am I gonna leave? No one trying to get rough. Who's gonna talk to me on the phone till the sun comes up? Who's gonna take your place? There ain't nobody better. Bobby Womack's on the radio, sing to me.
If you think you're doing that.
Wait a minute, this is too deep, too deep. I gotta change the station, so I turn the dial, trying to catch a break. And then I hear, baby, babe, I only think of you. And it's breaking my heart, I'm trying to keep it together. But I'm falling apart, I'm feeling all out of my element. Going insane, trying, trying to figure out where the hell I went.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left Him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
You know, it's a thing called selling your soul to the devil. And a lot of the Republicans have done that. They have been on been attacked by Donald Trump throughout a whole year. And now after he has been elected president, they're willing to come back and do his bidding. There is not any way in the world I would go against the people of America and support Donald Trump and his desire after he had talked about me the way he had talked about John McCain, Ted Cruz, and Rubio. Those are three men without question that should have voted against anything that he brought to the table. But it tells me that you're a weak man when you allow another man to disgrace you and you still go and do his bidding. There's no way in the world you could have talked about my wife, talked about my family, and disgraced me as a military man when you never served a day in the armed forces and you still get my vote. Mr. Tillis, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, what kind of man sells his soul to the devil right there in front of all of America?
Now we see Donald Trump and everybody else. But, you know, that's interesting that you say those things have occurred, that they talked about him bad and he talked about them bad. But the bottom line is when it's time to come together, that stuff doesn't matter. What's been said about each other, they come together, and that's something that we as African Americans we are missing. We have divisions in our race. We have classes. You know, you have the people who have plenty of money. We have the so-called middle class, and we have the poor. We separate ourselves. The middle class separate themselves from the poor. They won't be bothered with the poor, and the rich separate themselves from the poor and the middle class. So, but one thing you can say about these Republicans, or I don't know what you just say, just white folks, because it's probably 99.9% all white Caucasians, they come together when they need to come together. It's no way in the world. I believe that Mr. Cain, John Cain, whatever his name, John McCain, I think he's thinking that he's going to die real soon. So he just did that to support the party. But, you know, a lot of those people are going to be replaced come 2018. And so a lot of them know that. So, you know, you're just looking at, we live in the last and evil days, and it's almost like nothing surprises me anymore, because there's no way in the world the things that's occurring now. And I know we're talking about health insurance and what's happening with the Republican Party and politics. There's no way in the world those things could have happened. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Mr. Obama, if he had brought some of the things that's brought to us every day from the Republican Party? Can you imagine? I mean, he would be assassinated. He would be taken out. He would have been taken out immediately. And it was only by the grace of good Lord that protected him. But We're in some bad times. We're in some tough times, and I don't even know if it's going to get better. I know they're grooming this black woman to run for president. She's a senator. I can't think of her name. It escapes me right now. But they're grooming her now, and I think next time when Mr. Trump, when his position comes up, I think he'll be replaced.
Is she out of California?
I don't know, but I read something about it. That's their selection. That's the Democratic Party selection. Who's gonna run for president already? I mean, they're vetting her. They're grooming her just like they groom Mr. Obama. I mean, you don't just become president of the United States, unless you're somebody like Trump, who's a very, very, very wealthy man. And we don't know what the we don't know what the Russians, you know, what they've done with that election. We're going to find out some more. We still would never find out all the things that happened. And they're not going to even bring all that stuff out. But we're in some tough times, man. We got to spend our time on our news brand. All I can say, pray, people, pray, because we think this is bad. It's gonna get worse. Because, I mean, if they could attack us like that, but just to think of a man like Donald Trump to be a president of the United States, what were we thinking? How can we stoop so low to possibly even consider voting for a man we have already known to be a professional liar, a man who put his hands on the women's skirts and dresses, a man who has, you know, denigrated, humiliated people, and just lie. I don't think the truth ever comes out of his mouth. And I saw a script before he became president, which was years ago. I don't know, maybe some of you guys saw that. And he said, I could easily be president. All I got to do is lie to the Republicans. They're stupid, and they'll vote for me. I just lied to them. He said that. I think Dan Rather, somebody was interviewing him. He said that. Well, it manifested itself. Because this man is a professional liar. Listen, it's like, what could the world be thinking about our country, our president, our people? You got a man just lie. All the stuff he did during the presidential campaign, all that stuff is like forgotten. So I don't know what the answers are. But I know a lot of people are going to be out of probably a lot of people are going to be out of health insurance. People won't be able to afford it. And there are so many people with pre-existing conditions that if they repeal the Obamacare, these people are going to be in serious trouble because they cannot afford these premiums. You're talking about people might be looking at $2,000 a month, $3,000 a month premiums. They cannot afford that. And then they're going to get to the point where you can't just go to the hospital like we can now. We can go to the hospital if there's an emergency, or you can just go to the emergency if you're sick. It's going to get to the point because the government has to pay those expenses that you use up at the these different hospitals. The government has to pay that. Because the government's going to pick that up, and then they're going to try to get the money out of you, but in most cases you can't. People can't afford to pay those the cost of that health insurance. So I really don't know what the answer is, but I know we got some serious issues that we're dealing with.
Joyce, what do you think of Sean Spicer leaving, and what does that say about the Republican Party? It's looking to me like it's falling apart. You got Donald Trump talking about the Attorney General, and I don't think he can last much longer under the pressure that he's under. How can this man govern when the people he selected are being run away or deciding to leave?
Well, everybody don't want to, you can go along with a program that is, you know, that is not good for you. Have some type of dignity and integrity about you, and that is what is going to come to the forefront. Who he has now and who he's bringing on board are people who don't care. They're millionaires. I mean, what do they think if they railroad you? Think about it. And not only is his health care is going to be involved, you got your Meals on Wheels program for all these people that are sick and shut in. See, health care goes a long ways other than just that physically health. You know, you have programs that are out there that keeping people alive. You got people who need to be delivered food every day, and this is a way of being checked on and making sure that they're up to par. You have people who get their diabetes medication and needles, and it's just pathetic. But also, not only is it going to affect the elderly, it's going to affect people that are on the job too. I just saw that on MSNBC that people don't realize that when this health care program is going to affect people that are working class employees, it's going to affect you too, because your insurance is going to start skyrocketing also. Then your company is going to start pushing back as to what it is that they're going to have affordable for you. Your deductible is going to go up. So everybody is going to get hit, all except the rich are the richest. And that's where we are right now. So, yes, a lot of people that are going to, you see, he cannot fulfill his cabinets. A lot of people are just not buying into what he's selling. And I'm assuming, and this is why I thought that it was going to, the Senate was like a big joke. They was going to take him all the way, and then they was going to pull the rug away from under his feet. But I don't think that's happening. I think that it's an ego type of thing. It's a power thing, and they really do can destroy you. But what he's doing, he's telling you that he wants everybody to be loyal to him, but he don't care nothing about you. He'll throw you under the bus in a minute. Don't they get it? The only people that are important to him are the people that he has real close to his vest, and that's his family. Anybody else, you're ride or die, not on his watch, you know. And that's what they haven't gotten it yet. They just don't know where they stand right now. Until their light bulb come on, this is what we're looking at, you see. And it's a shame.
You know, it's amazing
but
to
as
me
far as
as far as a female,
a black female talking about running. Not going to happen. It's not going to work. That's the wrong direction that we need to take. You see what they're doing as far as ridiculing Obama, so why would we put a sister up there in front? A sister don't have no more power than a black man. In fact, she has less respect in this society than a black man. So why would we even want to go that route trying to put a sister? So if we grooming, we don't need to be grooming that. Because it's not going to work. And you see how white women turn on their own kind when they turn on Hillary. They don't think twice about turning on a sister. Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, I used to have some respect for Paul Ryan, but I have no respect for anybody in the Republican Party at this time. I mean, these guys are just going lockstep with Donald Trump. Tyrone said that this man had, there's nothing this man did as he was running and that could have been a part of Barack Obama's history. And he's lied, he's made statements that were just so unbelievable, and that the fact that he's president is just unbelievable. Ms. Hooks, what are your thoughts about, you know, we respected the first family when it was Barack Obama and Michelle. It is it's difficult to have any respect or loyalty to this first family.
Oh, no. I mean, that's a loaded question because I have not come to terms yet and still think this is all a dream. And I know it's not, but it definitely seems like a dream that he is president. You know, I say you got to be kidding. And I mean, even the stability of this man when he talks and the things that he's done and how he has just degraded women. And I mean, we're not going to even talk about the lies because I mean, that's just obvious. But I can't even bring myself to terms that, and I mean, I know he's president, but it's hard to imagine. It is really hard to imagine. And, you know, even with being the president, you know, their family wasn't so involved in everything that this family is involved in. This is like the whole family got elected, not just one man. You know, although Michelle Obama was very active in a lot of things, she wasn't in the business of Obama, you know, President Obama at the time that he did. She had her own agenda. Seems as though this family is trying to run everything, not just him by himself. And I'm telling you, it is hard. It's, you know, I think about what were we thinking? You know, I mean, this man is not stable. And when I say that, there is some mental issues that's going on. And we can very well see that if we just pay close attention to, you know, just his actions. And, I mean, I can't even believe Twitter. I mean, a president on Twitter. I mean, how can we respect someone who has downgraded, who gets back in on these temper tantrums with people that are on Twitter. It's just something that I can't even begin to fathom. I mean, it's crazy, and I can't see, you know, many people respecting them as they have done for so many presidents, you know, before him. I just can't see it, and I'm still in awe about it. It's just it's a mess. We're in a mess. That's what we're in. We're in a mess.
And like you say, it's just that the majority of the presidents that I've lived under, you've been able to look up and respect them and appreciate them and the job that they tried to do. And this man, like you say, is constantly on Twitter like he's a kid. And he's going around talking about the people that he selected. Now, how can you select somebody in January and be talking about them like a dog in July? You know, and so because he doesn't want anybody to have integrity. He wants people to just do his bidding. And when he wants you to do something and you refuse to do it, then you're no longer with his program. You know, so this thing is going to be get a lot uglier before it gets any better. D, we just, you know, I just a few weeks ago I was salivating, but I never thought that Sean Spicer would be the first one to leave. But obviously the cancer in his administration is growing worse, and there are going to be people who just can no longer take it.
Well, it is getting worse. You know, it's funny how far that money can talk, how people will sell their soul to the devil for more money. This guy, that Scaramucci, just came in to replace Sean Spicer. This guy is a slickmeister of Wall Street. He's very fluent in conversation. He's the voice that Donald Trump wish he had. There's a lot going on. One of which Jeff Sessions has been thrown under the bus by Donald Trump, and he's been tweeting about Jeff Sessions all day. What he wants just Jeff Sessions to do is quit so he can put another person in place as Attorney General, so this person that he put in place can fire Robert Mueller. Now, the strategy behind all that Congress is supposed to be in recess. If Jeff Sessions quits while Congress is in recess, he can appoint somebody without them being approved by Congress. And his appointee can then fire Robert Mueller. But after all the things that Jeff Sessions has gone through, he's holding on to that seat. And I think that now the tide has been turned on Donald Trump, whereas if you want me out of here, you got to fire me. And if you fire me, then eyebrows will be raised. I'm not going to help you by resigning this seat. So Jeff Sessions now is going to flip the script on Donald Trump. But it's ugly as we can get. And, you know, we were salivating last week. We thought it was funny. But as the week go by, it ain't as funny as one would hope for it to be, because the money, billions and billions and billions of dollars are at stake. And so that's why they got to follow the money. These banks that Donald Trump and family and Kushner and everybody have been involved with, these banks have been, they're on record for being involved with money laundering. So it's all going to come out, but you got to follow the money. But you got to keep Robert Mueller in there so he can bring all of this to a head. So it's interesting, sure enough, but it's very uncomfortable to watch it all. Thank you.
It is very uncomfortable to watch. Okay, we're going to go on another break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
That we love to see. Every time we hear the music and feel this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever.
Just a thought, James T. Deshaies. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay, the number 2.com. Those of you who would wish to change the quality of your life need to seriously think about visiting WealthDaddySystems.com. WealthDadSystems.com. That's WealthDadSystem. WealthDadSystem.com. If you're looking to make changes in your life so that you can do the things you used to dream about, please visit WealthDadSystems.com so you can make the necessary adjustments to increase the cash flow in your life. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the place where your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. Guys, you know, we're just going to have to decide, like, we're going to make a commitment to doing all that we can. It's all hands on deck when it comes to the midterms elections. We have to throw out all the Republicans that we can so that we can gain control of our lives again. I'm going back to Bernie Sanders. Here's a man who amassed a lot of individuals who followed him on the basis of a few inches. You know, the wealth should not all be in the hands of the rich. All of us deserve to have a piece of the apple pie. It is time for us to stop allowing CEOs to take advantage of hardworking men. You know, I'm just going to give you an idea of what I think is clearly wrong with our country. We have a McDonald's that costs people $200,000 and $300,000 to invest in. We allow them to run their company off the backs of our children and off the backs of the poor, paying them minimum wage when we know minimum wage is not enough for a person to live on. And even if we were to require McDonald's to go up to $15 an hour for these employees, they would still be making money hand over foot with the prices they charge now. So, you know, it's just disgraceful that we let our people make money off the backs of our poor. Disney World, there are people out of Disney World who can apply for welfare or food stamps who work out there 40 hours a day when they're charging $100 a ticket to get into the park. So now how can you be charging people these kind of prices and your population of people coming to visit the park is going up, but yet you scrutinize and refuse to give people a proper wage that are doing the work down there at the front? And this is the thing that we seemingly don't want to do anything about. We seem to be so committed and understanding to giving the rich tax breaks and not demanding that people pay people a proper wage. If you are paying a person a salary that is underneath their ability to live, that is a form of slavery. Mr. Tillis, what is your thoughts about that? You know, even though you're paying somebody, they used to pay the sharecropper. but that was a form of slavery. So
well, that's a lot,
you know, it seems like we're still allowing people to do this.
That philosophy has been around a long time, and we live in a capitalistic society, so you can always have the wealthy going to pay the minimum amount that they can pay to get free labor. And that's really a shame that you have people working for a minimum wage and they can't afford to get an apartment, a decent apartment, or a decent car. What do you expect out of the individual? Who you're paying minimum wage or a little above minimum wage, even at McDonald's. What can you expect from that person? How is that person going to live a good quality life, educate their children, pay for health insurance, and try to put some money aside for retirement? They can't. They can't. And so you force that person to maybe do some things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And it's just an unfortunate situation. We live in a crazy world. We live in a crazy world, and I say to, and I know, I don't know if we're speaking to young people or what, but, you know, you got to try to get all the education you can to get out of those situations where you can, because your education is going to hopefully provide a better opportunity for you where you can get better jobs and things like that. But it's a sad situation. That's what we find crime. You know, a lot of crime where people are not making enough money. So I know one time, a couple of years ago, I was in California, and, everybody out there was selling weed. They had jobs, two or three jobs, and they still were selling weed because, you know, they couldn't make enough money. It wasn't commensurable to their pay. They could not. They didn't have enough money. So they had two or three jobs, and plus they were selling weed or selling marijuana. It's an unfortunate situation. That's where your education comes in. Your education, hopefully, that you can get a decent education to the point where you can excel in life and do better. Hopefully, get you a halfway decent job and then move on to maybe owning your own business. But it's, you know, we're in a capitalistic society, and those who have, they take advantage of those who don't have. And I don't know if that's going to ever change. I don't know if it's going to ever change. We have to change. We have to become better. We have to, and I'm talking about African Americans because, you know, because we've been, for over 400 years we were in slavery. And, you know, I don't know how long it's been since slavery, but we're in a bad situation. We're not in good situations. We're in a bad situation. And we having all this crime in our community. Our children not going to school anymore. Our children are looking like thugs, they're not respected. I remember when I was going to high school. I mean, people were striving to get their high school diplomas and to go on to college and maybe, you know, and get a what we call, what they called at that time, a good job. Even if it was at the post office, you earned enough money where you can take care of your family. We don't have that situation. And the way some of our kids, I mean, lots of our kids look. And I, you know, I mean, some people may not have a problem with that. I have a problem with the earring and tattoos and all that. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm right. I just don't like that. I think that just takes away from us. And who would hire some of the people that I see? I see some time on Facebook this mother was showing her child, and I know she loves her child. But he had these big old earrings in the ear, big old holes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where, I mean, the earring fits inside of the lube of the ear. And they were bragging about how good-looking he was. Well, he may be good-looking, but who's going to hire him? He's got these big old earrings in his ear, tattoos all over him. Who's going to hire him? We have, I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I know one thing. A man or a woman who doesn't have an education, you're going to be in some serious, you're going to have some serious trouble. You're either going to, well, I'm not going to say that. But, and I also wanted to address something real, real quick. There was somebody who said something about a black woman couldn't win. Well, we felt like a black man couldn't win. I would think that a black woman have a better chance to be a winning because black women around the United States are admired, and I know we all have problems. If you look at the corporation and you see who are being promoted, do you know they have three times more black women running major corporations than black men. It's the black women who are being and loved and supported today. And so that's, I believe that's why the Democrats feel like it's going to, if we prepare this black woman, that she will be in a position to take down this white boy. And when I say take down, you know, I'm talking about becoming the next president of the United States. Because I think I think America is ready for a black woman.
I don't think so. And I didn't tell you that they couldn't win. I just told you that they're not ready for it. More than likely, the reason why I say that is because...
Ready? Yeah, how can you say she's not ready?
Well, they was ready for Obama, but look what they're doing to Obama now. Your rich white boys, your white boys. And if they doing that, your white boys, your rich white boys doing that to a black man, ain't no way in the hell that they're going to let a black woman look better than a rich white boy. That's why I'm saying it. That's why I say we're going down the wrong path on that as far as if we want to get back into control as far as the Democrats. That's just my personal
right.
take on it. Because my thing is on that is that you got the racist South, and they are the one who put Trump where they are. And there's no way that they're going to give that a black woman that they have all those babies by, two and three, you know, different babies by. That's how they look at a black woman. There's no way that they're going to put them in power more than who they are, particularly from the South. So your South is the one who put Trump, all those little rednecks and people that the swamp that you're talking about. They the one that put them there, and you think that they're gonna let a black woman, regardless, have more power than they? It's not gonna happen.
Why?
Look what they're doing. They're erasing everything that Obama has put into place. They're trying to strike it down right now. So a sister is not gonna be able to go over and do what your brother couldn't do.
How we rank the profile.
How, just look at the protocol, how it is. You got your white boys, you got your Chinese. I can just go down the protocol, but a black man is before a black woman. As far as
well,
the protocol is the high society
are
looking at it.
We don't have much time left, and I'm going to go to break, and then we're going to come back and let everybody have their final word. What is your final word for this evening?
Thank you, Jane. Look, I think that if we really want to make a difference in the up and coming elections for the next 15 years, we got to start playing smarter and take the emotion out of the equation. You got to take the black emotion out of the equation. America is not going to vote for another black person for another 15, 20 years. Not if they black-skinned it. You can forget that. That's not going to happen. They've done that. They've done that. They've done what they thought they was compelled to do, and they've done that. What you got to do now is start playing smarter if you want to. They'll vote for another black person if he's mixed, if his skin is not so black. You got to know that. Don't waste your vote on the black-skinned person, because that's going to be a wasted vote. We got to start playing smarter. They'll vote for a black woman if her skin is mixed, if she's not as black as Michelle. They're not going to do that no more. All right. So we can manufacture our agenda to fit that person, to fit that bill. But we got to be smart enough to not be as black as black can be, because they're not going to do that no more. So I say that because I've been around long enough to know how they think, period. So we got to play around them by not putting so much black emotion into the equation. We can get what we supposed to be, but we got to be smarter and not work so hard and doing what they expect us to do. And that's be typical and predictable. Thank you.
Ms. Hooks, what is your final word for this evening?
That we need to come together more, and because to show more in power and in strength. I do know that just like he just mentioned, you know, that we need to, now I don't know about the color or whatever like that, but that we need to come together, and I don't even know who this is, but we need to come together, and we need to come together more in power and in strength and know our worth. But education is definitely the key, and those, you know, even not affording education, but also begin to instill knowledge within ourselves and books, knowledge, so we can still always educate ourselves through knowledge by reading and, you know, paying attention to what our surroundings is to be able to make a difference for what's going on. But we do need to get out in the mass numbers and to be a part of the solution and get out and vote.
All right. Joyce, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, I want to piggyback on what Dee said with this truly. And what we look at is that the white man did not put Obama there. White women put Obama in power. That's where Obama got there, because a lot of white women loved him, and that's who put him over the threshold. That's why Hillary Clinton didn't get elected, because the white women didn't back her up. And in order to put a sister there, there's no way that a white woman's going to put a sister before she put herself there. That's what I got to do. That's what I have to say. We got to teach our young people the importance of being for real, taking everything serious. We got to tell them that and teach them that their job starts early. Their job is to go to school and get good grades. That's their job. Our job is to bring food back home, put clothes on their back, but their job is to start early, bring home good grades. We got to instill in them that they want to be something. We got to mold them as far as what they want to be at an early age, and we got to work with them so they can see the vision. Thank you.
Tyrone, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, the bottom line is going to come, is that black people have to come together with their money. That's the bottom line. We got to learn how to pool our resources together. But I was really quite surprised that we were saying that a black woman could not be elected or voted in. And I know that's a sensitive subject, but we said that about Mr. Obama. I said that we would never see a black president in my lifetime, but it happened. And it can happen for this black woman. And if you look at these major corporations, you don't see black men who are running these major corporations. You see black women. Black women are the ones being promoted. And so if the Democratic Party has come together to say that this black person, we're going to get behind this person. Also, at that time, we're going to have more Democratic senators and congresspeople. And so I wouldn't want to limit myself to say that she cannot win or she's got to be a certain color. I'm for the black woman to step up and make history. So, I mean, this was an interesting discussion, and I really appreciate it. But it lets us know that we have sensitive issues among ourselves. And so it's going to come down to a dollar. We still, and I appreciate, I used to publish a magazine years ago in the 80s, and that was my theme, black folks doing business with each other, and we just got to come together with our money, support each other. Our athletes need to contribute 10% of their income. We need to start our schools and churches, and, I mean, just a whole lot of things that we need to do. And we're not going to be respected because the Democratic Party doesn't really respect us. But we're not going to be respected until we come together with our money, when we pool our resources together. And one of the things, I live in Atlanta, one of the things I like about Atlanta is that black people support each other here. You're not going to come here and find a black person, got a white attorney, white dentist, and white this and white that. They support black people here, and I'm going to shut it down.
All right, guys, we got a lot to discuss and a lot to talk about, and there are going to be times when we're not all on the same page, and that's okay, too. So we want you to know that Love and Reflection is a place where you can have a voice, and your voice will always be respected, and you'll be heard loud and clear. I also want to continue to say, those of you who are looking to change your quality of life, who are looking to go in another direction, and who want to be financially independent, please go to WealthDaddySystem.com. That's WealthDaddSystem.com. Let me say it again because I get it mixed up sometimes. Please visit WealthDaddSystem.com. That's WealthDaddSystem.com. I want you to go there and look at what it is possible for you to do when you're willing to commit yourself to a way of life. I want everyone to take care. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I want you to be prepared and ready to continue our discussion about the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. It is time for us to make a difference. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. We can no longer sit on the sidelines because there's too much to do. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintain her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.